Blog Talk Radio.
Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I work with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. As we have often said on this show, baby boomers are approaching aging in a new way. We're living longer, healthier lives than ever before. And caregiving, like many other aspects of a boomer's life, needs to be approached in an entirely new way. Boomers are one of the fastest growing users of social media and online gaming. Games, virtual support community, and easy-to-find resources are key. Holidays create additional stress for caregivers, and for some families, it is the first time they see the need to become a caregiver. Today, I'm speaking with Sharon Brothers, Executive Vice President of Caregiver Village. Sharon Brothers holds a master's degree in social work from the University of British Columbia. She built and managed some of the very first specialty care centers for people with Alzheimer's and dementia in Washington, Oregon, and California, and has more recently developed an e-learning company for caregiving professionals. She works with family caregivers both in Caregiver Village and in her leadership of a family support group for her community hospital. So I'm delighted to introduce you to Sharon Brothers. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Well, I would like to begin by having you share a little bit about your background and training that led you to your current involvement with Caregiver Village and whatever else you're doing.
Thank you. I would love to do that. You know, I was listening to your introduction and I was thinking about your mission to change or to shed some light on the way boomers are changing the aging process. And I thought, that's exactly what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to do personally and professionally, and what we're trying to do in Caregiver Village, which we're here to talk about a little bit today. We're about changing the way that our society views caregivers. And as we're a boomer society, and I'm a boomer myself, so, you know, the getting older thing is all of a sudden in the mirror, in my face, literally. And as I face that, and as my friends and my coworkers and my family members and the people that I know are dealing all of a sudden with these caregiver issues with their own parents or spouses or children who have special needs, all of a sudden, I think all of us are going to need to put a different frame, put a different lens on the way we view that role of family caregivers. I think about when I first started with this family or caregiver village a little over a year ago. Somebody came into my office and said, "Ooh, you're working on a project with family caregivers? Isn't that just like caregiver? How can you take pictures and make them look good? Caregivers are all just boring and old." And I thought, wow, what a stereotype. What a sad commentary. And since that time, I've come to know a lot of people who work full time. They're devoted to caregiving for a loved one. And there is nothing frumpy or old or unattractive about them at all. They're some of the most giving, loving people. So
what you're saying,
that introduction.
I'd like to add something, is that there's an image that people have that if you're a caregiver, you have to just give up being whoever you are and just become this frumpy caregiver rather than being a complete person, and this is a piece of what you have to deal with in your life right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we sort of put those people a little bit socially in the back burner, too. You know, they're not going to be the hostess and they're not going to be the one who's out and about and the social butterfly because they're busy. But one of the things that I think we sometimes forget is what they're doing, that their busyness is supporting the very fabric of our society. They are giving a tremendous gift of themselves, their time, their energy, not just to the person they're taking care of, but to their family and to the larger community as a whole. And I think sometimes we forget that. So anyway, I'm rambling on. You had asked me about myself, but I thought that it's so important what you were talking about in relation to how we view caregivers as an aging society. We've really got to change that. And I think who better to change that than baby boomers?
Absolutely. I also wanted to ask you, because we were talking right before we started, about the difference between the word caretaker and caregiver, because many of us automatically call someone a caretaker. So could you kind of give your definition or differentiation there?
Yeah, I believe words are important, Erica. I believe that the words that we use and the words we choose to use do reflect how we feel or think about something. And so this ties right into exactly what we've been talking about, which is changing the way we view that role in our society and starting to place appropriate value, in my mind, proper value on people who are giving of themselves. And of course, I'm focusing right now on family caregivers, but if you broaden that focus just a little bit to take in all of those people who work in caregiving roles, often they're, you know, some of the lowest paid, lowest valued, lowest appreciated individuals in our society. And so when we reflexively, as I did for many years, refer to them as the caretakers because they are taking care of people, sometimes we don't think that what they're really doing is so much more than taking care of. They are giving of themselves, their time, their energy, their passion. The very best caregivers are some of the most creative people I know, because you have to stay creative as a caregiver to solve problems, to keep life moving along and interesting and joyful and fun. It can be a drudgery, yes, but the very best caregivers are creative. They're compassionate. They give of themselves in a way that extends far beyond what we typically think of in our day-to-day relationships with other people. And so I would urge people to start using words like caregiver instead of caretaker, so that we start thinking about and using words that reflect maybe the first little baby step towards a change in how we view folks that do this role in our society.
What you're pointing out is very interesting, because as you're talking, I'm realizing that we tend to value takers rather than givers. We're very impressed with people who have a lot of money and keep accumulating money and wealth and, you know, kind of taking. We don't value as much the people that are giving and giving back to society. It takes more to value that. So we need to look at it.
Yeah, that's so true, especially when we're talking about tangible versus intangible. You know, that intangible giving or that non-material giving that caregivers do, it doesn't really get a lot of spotlight.
Not at all. And people, at my health club, there are some ladies that are married to men that are much older than them, and they have become caregivers. And one of them was describing how they don't have much social life anymore. The friends kind of disappeared. All those people that were their good friends when everything was fine, people kind of back away. They're afraid of it.
You know, you're talking about what happens ultimately, and what we refer to on the professional side of this is social isolation. And
absolutely.
One of the things since I've been involved in Caregiver Village, which, by the way, is a website, and if folks listening out there are interested, you can find exactly what we're talking about with the Caregiver Village Family Caregiver website just by typing in caregivervillage.com, and you can get right where we're talking about. When we first started building this community, we started thinking about what is it that family caregivers need the most? What is one of their biggest challenges, and what are some of the things we can do to support them? And we kept running into over and over this phenomenon of social isolation. Caregivers, as you mentioned with your friends at the health club, you know, pretty soon they're not going to be able to get out to the health club because they're going to be tied down unless they have somebody else who can come in and give them a break. But they're not entertaining. They're not going out so much. They're not, they have disconnected. But as you say, sometimes their friends have disconnected a little bit too because it's awkward. And we don't really know how to deal with the person who has caregiving needs, or we think, oh, they won't be able to come anyway, so I won't bother to send them an invitation. It'll make them feel bad. And pretty soon, both the person who's doing the caregiving and their social circle have created this environment that results in social isolation of the caregiver. And one of the things that we have learned about social isolation is that in and of itself is a high-stress, deadly situation for the individual. It causes people to become ill. It lowers their immune system and their resistance to disease. It increases their stress, which has all kinds of ramifications physically. And if we look one layer deeper, what we realize is that human beings are wired. We're genetically designed to be connected to other human beings. And when we disconnect, we suffer negative consequences, and it's just that simple.
Wow, and so this is a reminder to all the friends and family and people that know this person who's a caregiver to give a little support to the caregiver.
Yeah, absolutely. Caregivers need support, and caregivers need to ask for support. Because a lot of times as friends, and I think of myself as a friend who, a couple who some of our closest friends are going through a second cancer treatment. She has cancer and he's her primary caregiver. And a lot of times my husband and I look at each other and go, what can we do to support them? You know, how can we help? We don't often know. And so it's up to us to constantly reach out and offer our help and our support. And sometimes what our friends appreciate best of all is a telephone call or a visit. They just want that connection with somebody else. And, you know, especially this time of year, that's one of the hardest things we have to give because most of us don't have a lot of extra time in our lives.
That's true. So in the middle of the holiday season, what are things that caregivers can do to help manage their own stress?
Well, from the caregiver perspective themselves, I think it's really crucial during this holiday season to reduce your expectations and to simplify your life. I've been chatting with some of my new friends in Caregiver Village who share, and we do a lot of conversations through journaling and through participating in discussion groups in Caregiver Village. And so we have an opportunity to share with each other, what do you do to get through this holiday season? And it's really fun to read some of the responses that other caregivers are doing. Some things as simple as saying, as one woman who's absolutely max works out with a full-time job and caregiving for her family members. And she turned to her children and said, what do you guys want to do for Christmas dinner this year? And they said, can we just do peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? It's our favorite thing, and it's really simple. And so that's what's on their menu for Christmas Day dinner. And you know what? We have to say, that's okay. That's really an okay thing to do. And if it fits for you and your family, don't layer on all these societal expectations of, you know, the ham or the turkey and all the trimmings and all of the other things. Yeah, it is funny. And, you know, here's another thing that most of us don't think about, and even most caregivers don't think about, and that is, if you're caregiving for a loved one who perhaps has Alzheimer's or who is extremely ill and weak in some way, maybe they've had a stroke or maybe they're having chemo from cancer, or you've got a child with special needs like autism, oftentimes, and I'm learning this from some of my new Caregiver Village friends, oftentimes, skipping the festivities, the big family festivities all together, is the very best thing. Maybe you can go and have somebody stay with your loved one for a little while, but don't try to necessarily take your loved one to that event. What I'm hearing from families is that they celebrate Thanksgiving, for example, which has just passed. They celebrated Thanksgiving the day after Thanksgiving with their loved one, because then it could be a quiet, simple event where you can focus on that relationship without all the noise and the commotion of having sometimes lots of little ones who are high energy, sometimes lots of family members who, like we do, you know, you yak 90 miles an hour, and the person who has those unusual or special needs at this point in time can just be left behind or can be overwhelmed with the activity. And so I thought that was a really good idea that we often don't think about.
Well, on Thanksgiving this year, I went to a restaurant with my aunt and my cousin, and my aunt is going to be 91. Actually, she just turned 91. And she was very stressed by that meal because first we had to wait, then we didn't get a good table because it's Thanksgiving, it's crowded, and you know there's a lot of turnover. So that was really too stressful for her, and I was very aware of that.
Yeah, and you know, going into
she doesn't need caretaking, but she is older and feels a lot more stress more easily.
Yeah. And going into it, you probably thought you were simplifying it by not having to do the cooking and the cleaning up and letting the restaurant do that. But the reality is, when we talk about an older person or a frail person or an ill person or a child with special needs, we have to look at that environment too. And if it is a noisy, busy environment, it is going to cause them stress. And that, in turn, causes you stress, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It just wasn't the same until the meal came and then everyone calmed down. But that's very true. So what exactly is Caregiver Village, and do you have games there too? I know you mentioned something about baby boomers doing online gaming.
Yeah, we do. You know, when we started creating Caregiver Village, it was a really wonderful opportunity where a number of us who are just passionate about supporting family caregivers, we came together with literally a empty white board and said, what can we do? What can we create that's a web-based product that can change the health and the well-being of family caregivers? And so we started with, what are some of those health risks that caregivers face? And, of course, stress always, always, always bubbles up through the surface and up to the top of every one of those lists. And so
amazing,
we started thinking, what can we do to help reduce stress? And what are some of the evidence-based approaches that help reduce stress? What we ended up with was four main components that are the fabric of Caregiver Village. And the very first one of those components is a game. And it's a game that's a mystery, and it kind of goes from episode to episode. It has puzzles to make you think and keep your mind active and healthy, because that's really, really important for all of us as we age.
Oh, interesting, yeah.
But it also is designed to be fun, and it's designed to help caregivers think about what they do in their caregiving role in a way that's not like going to school, going to class, taking instruction, taking a lesson. You're playing a game. And in the process of the game, there are people that populate this game. It's kind of a story game. And so as you follow through the story, the people that are involved in this process are also caregivers. And they're learning,
so you talking
and they're
about,
having these moments.
Sharon, are you talking about real people on the line at the same time, or are there people in the game?
No, there are people in the game. So they're little avatars in the game.
Okay.
Who look like people. And so if you go to Caregiver Village, you'll see our logo character is an avatar, a woman that we call Kara, and she is the lead character in this game, which is really a mystery story that you're trying to work your way through and solve, and you can explore this route or explore a different route, and along the way there are puzzles to solve and games and mysteries. And so it is an opportunity to learn and to be reminded. And what we hear most often from people who come on the website, and the first thing they do is play the game, they go, okay, well, I knew I should take better care of myself, but now I was reminded in a way that was fun, and I think I'm going to pay attention. And, you know, that's the whole point. Have a little fun. Do something that's really enjoyable. And we know as baby boomers, a lot of us spend just a few minutes here and there playing games. I play my online crossword. I love them. I'm addicted to them. My friends are playing Scrabble, or they're playing, you know, other games, or Farmville, or whatever. It gives you a little break, and it's fun.
And
so
it
that
clears your head. I find it just,
absolutely
I play Scrabble
does.
Blast a lot. And just looking at words and just focusing on that would clear my head from so much else that was going on.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, you know, one of the little factoids that I uncovered recently, Jane McGonigal, who's this author who's been very involved in the serious games world, just wrote a book called Reality is Broken, and the subtitle is Why Games Make Us Better and How They Can Change the World. And so I snatched up this book thinking, you know, we're looking at a game that we think is going to change the world of caregivers. And what she found was that executives, big business, corporate executives, almost, I think her statistic was something like 70% of them spend a few minutes every day playing some kind of a game because it clears the cobwebs, like you say. And then you go back and you focus on what you need to focus on with a whole different perspective. You've kind of cleared away all the clutter. And so games are a big piece, and they are a central piece of what we've created on Caregiver Village. And it's fun. You know, that's the other piece.
Well, I just think of another game that I played one time with a group of men, and this was a war game. So what a different focus, more on how you can take and grab and, you know, plunder
and eliminate
the other people.
A lot of games, and a lot of the popular games are those shoot 'em up games or plunder or war or you know, fantasy games of some sort. And, you know, those have their place, and they certainly have an audience who's very involved in those. But if we look at, like, the serious games and the way that we can use games to help change people's lives, we can also use games for teaching and games in an educational way that's fun, and that the learning happens so differently that it really sticks. And you know, I am at my heart, I am an educator, and I'm continually looking for ways that we can use education, we can use training, we can use games in education and training to change behaviors. Because if it doesn't change behaviors, if it doesn't change the way we act, then we haven't really done much in that education or training, particularly in this realm where we're talking about something as substantial and as significant as caring for our society's most valuable individuals. So that's one of the pieces of caregiver village, and it's a really, really important piece. Would you like me to talk a little bit more about some of the other pieces?
Absolutely. You said there were four different parts or aspects.
There are. The game is the first one, or one of those components. The second one, and we've talked a little bit about the need as human beings to connect with other people. And so we have discussion groups. We actually call them book clubs in Caregiver Village, because the concept in a village of a book club, at least in my personal village and in my personal neighborhood, our book club is simply a place where we get together and we talk about what's happening in our lives. Sometimes we read books, sometimes we actually talk about books, but sometimes we don't, and it's perfectly okay if there's no book involved at all. It's just a casual, informal way for us to get together and to connect. And so we have a variety of groups on Caregiver Village. They're all hosted by experts and professionals and noted authors who have something to say to caregivers or some way that they can help caregivers. And they host these groups so that they're not a one-way street of expert telling you how to do your job or how to be a better caregiver or how to reduce your stress, or caregivers asking the experts specific questions and looking for specific pieces of advice, but rather they're hosts in the sense of making these groups into a space where people can come and just talk about what's happening and pose questions and find answers, and like the idea of what are you doing this holiday season to reduce your stress, just sharing things that each other has found. And, you know, we can learn so much from each other that oftentimes that is the best place that we learn. And that we
and I'm hearing something else, too. These caregivers very often cannot go out and socialize, so it's wonderful for them to have a place to talk online, to connect and share and be heard.
Yes, absolutely.
It's a way of socializing. It's wonderful.
It is, and it's not only that, but, you know, we talked about evidence-based approaches, and support groups are one of those evidence-based approaches to reducing caregiver stress. We know they work. But, like the support group that I facilitate for my local community hospital, it meets twice a week on Tuesday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m. And I will tell you that most of the people who are involved in my support group, that's not their highest need time of the month. You know, their need for connecting with somebody else and just having a place or a time to turn to is going to happen at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday, or Saturday at noon, or Thursday at midnight, and my group isn't there. So when you have a support group or a support community online, you can go and log in at 3 a.m. and catch up with what people are talking about, add some comments, start a new discussion. You could get on and get your support group nourishment that time.
Well,
remember,
another thing,
without leaving the house.
Another aspect of the internet is that it may be 3 in the morning for you, but there's someone somewhere else in the world where it's the middle of the afternoon. So you can
that
get a response
very,
at any
true.
Hour.
That is very so, true. And you may not be the only caregiver up at 3 in the morning either.
Well, that's another thing. So
yeah,
we don't have too much more time, so just kind of mention the other two aspects that are involved.
Yeah, really quickly. The other two aspects are journaling. That's another evidence-based technique to help people work through really complex emotions. And we
Very
offer
important.
A forum. Yeah, journaling is so useful, so helpful. So we have journaling that you can share with your group, or you can do it privately. And then the last thing is we have resources that are especially selected for caregivers, because it's hard to sift through everything that's out there. We kind of have an abundance of resource and information right now, and now the challenge is sifting through and finding things that are really useful. So those are the four components of Caregiver Village. And, you know, membership right now is free for a year. So I would encourage people, if you're at all interested, go sign up. It takes 2 seconds, and check it out.
It sounds like a wonderful environment and so helpful. I'm going to tell these people at the health club. They might really enjoy that. Give people a purpose and an excitement. something to look forward to connecting with other people.
Absolutely. Connecting is so, so important. And now we can do it on the web and in places like Caregiver Village, because you know what? At the end of the day, it really does take a village to be a good caregiver, to be a healthy caregiver at any space in our lives. It really does take a village.
Well, I want to thank you, Sharon, for this wonderful talk, and your space online sounds wonderful. For our viewers, just go to caregivervillage.com.
Thank you, Dr. Erica, for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. On our next show, I'll be speaking with Dr. Marjorie Rand, a colleague and friend who specializes in integrative body psychotherapy and pre- and perinatal psychology, and we'll be talking about what is a healthy relationship. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond, and get a copy of the newly released book, Adventures in Manifesting, at createhealingandlovenow.com/manifesting.htm. Schedule a coaching or counseling session at drericawellness.com.